Hey, AfterBuzzers. Kevin Undergaro, the executive producer of AfterBuzz, along with Maria Menounos.
Hi, everybody.
And Maria and I, as you know, have put so much time and money into the AfterBuzz TV product and really haven't seen a lot in return.
Nope, not yet.
But one of the ways you guys can actually help us is by tuning into our new reality show, Chasing Maria Menounos. It premieres Tuesday, March 18th, 10 o'clock, 9 p.m. Central, and features me and Maria basically bickering, fighting.
No.
No?
No, it's not just bickering and fighting. You get an inside look into my life, behind the scenes.
You'll also get a behind-the-scenes look at AfterBuzz and an inside look at how Maria does everything in her power to shut us down.
Honey,
because she's very cheap.
That is so rude. Why would you say that?
Because it's true.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, guys, please tune in to Chasing Maria Menounos on Oxygen Tuesday, March 18th at 10 p.m. We really do appreciate it. All of your support will help AfterBuzz because Maria certainly won't.
So rude.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Glee After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Glee After Show.
Oh, this song, yes. So amazing. We will get into all of that in a few minutes here, but we're here hanging out back doing another Glee episode for you all. So it's a fun one tonight called City of Angels. And I don't know, we're all live in L.A. here, so I had so much fun seeing clips of L.A. in the background of shots.
Just,
I don't know.
Must have been way easier to film than faking living somewhere else all these years.
Exactly. And you could see that they film sometimes very close to where they film at the Paramount lot here. But I should introduce the episode as well and us. So, of course, it is Season 5, Episode 11, City of Angels, appropriately. Mm-hmm. And I'm Stephanie Wanger, and I'm so excited to be back with you both.
We're excited to have you back, Stephanie. We missed you for the last 3 months that Glee was on hiatus.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long run without you guys, but we have so much to talk about tonight. I really enjoyed this episode. I feel like sometimes we're hard on the show, but tonight, for me, it worked. It felt like old Glee episodes.
I felt so, too. And hi, everyone. I'm Marissa Serfi. It was a nice kind of reminiscence of all the previous flashbacks that we've had of the sectionals, regionals, any kind of performance, big concert competitions that had. It was a nice touch on that.
And Roxy?
I'm Roxy Stryer, and I feel like I'm at some committee right now. I'm Roxy Stryer, and I feel as if tonight's episode made me... The first half made me a little irritated, and the second half made me just bawl my eyes out. So I'm feeling a little bit of a roller coaster.
You and I always disagree on these episodes. I have to say, I come in and I'm like, oh, I didn't love it. And you're like, it was the best.
Yeah, no, I definitely would never say that this episode didn't do it for me because it really did get to me. But, man, I was not ready for this one.
I feel like this is the way this season is going to go now. I think that they're in it for this. A big part of this episode, of course, was kind of in memory of Corey Monteith and his character, Finn. And I know that the 100th will have that as well. A theme of the 100th episode next week will include Corey. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how long they're going to go on this. It feels like a right move to me. It's hard to watch, but it feels like something that the cast probably needed to do, I would imagine.
Well, I kind of felt like at the beginning, it wouldn't have been right to throw Corey in there all the time because it almost seemed like they were looking for views if they were doing that. Mm-hmm. At this point, I think that it was necessary. I needed there to be mention of Corey. I was feeling his absence, and I was thinking, how the hell are they going to take us all year and not mention what's happened post the quarterback?
Yeah, and I like how they were the producers and writers are self-aware of that, and that they even had the characters reflect that too, and be like, this is the first time you've performed since we've had Finn gone, and we know that that he was a vital role and he's missing now, but the show must still go on.
Because imagine if they hadn't mentioned him at Nationals. I mean, that would have been absurd.
Well, yeah. That's what I found so interesting, was this was one of those moments where I felt like Glee mirrored something that would happen in real life. I thought of, like, a tragedy happening at a high school. You would have that, like, charity softball game or the theater production dedicated to that person. And that's what this felt like to me. In a way, they were trying to dedicate their Nationals to Corey, to Finn.
And then further dedicating episodes to him. Yeah. You know, it's crazy because this is art imitating life, imitating art, you know, where we've got them making this into the entire episode is about doing this for Corey, and while they're actually filming it, they're missing Finn. I mean, you know, so...
Yeah, it all... Yeah. Well, we were talking about kind of the blurring of lines, and I think that this show is an example of where's the line between fiction and reality. It's a hard one on the show because you have Lea Michele, who... dated Corey, of course, in real life. Then you have her character who is with Finn, and they, like, it's all kind of this blur of where are these emotions, and they do a great job of portraying it because it doesn't look like it's, I'm sure it's very painful for them, and yeah.
Absolutely. And I think for production-wise, they're doing a great job trying to deal with that as well, and just, like, how to seamlessly write out a character and then, but kind of still keep them around and then seamlessly write all the characters and their interactions and how to deal with that. So I think production-wise, it's, oh my God, on top of everything.
I will say, though, I do think it is a little strange that Lea Michele had such a little part in this episode because since The Quarterback, this is the first tribute piece to Corey or yeah. Seemingly in my eyes. Mm-hmm. I would think maybe she would know how important Nationals was. I almost thought she was going to show up there.
Yeah.
When she didn't, I was a little disappointed.
Not to spoil our news and gossip, but she will play a part in that 100.
Of course. And yeah, I was about to say, I think the biggest reason for that is we do have the 100th coming up. I mean, the fact that all of these episodes, I know we had our hiatus, but if you take away that couple months period of time, we're not that far in distance from The Quarterback right now, you know? We're only a few episodes away from that. And then to have this, which was such a big episode, and then to have the 100th, which is a huge episode, we're getting a lot of... this season is... It's very emotionally trying.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that they're going... In a lot of ways, they want that. They want you to... It's senior year at McKinley, of course, and I think that that happens in high schools, is that it becomes emotionally charged. Obviously, they have other elements going on with Corey Monteith's death and how that is playing into their show. But I think that they wanted to elevate it. At least that's what it seems like to me, because they even have Tina showing more emotion than she ever has before, with breaking down into tears in past episodes about everybody leaving and not being ready to graduate.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Singing more songs. I mean, I think that tonight was the best singing job that Jenna's done. She blew me out. I couldn't even with her. Like, I thought she did an amazing job tonight.
Yeah, and I
loved it how the situation is, because they're changed now, that she was kind of, she is in the senior position to step up and take that role, and she did.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see. I'm excited to see where they all go in the next few episodes. And as they graduate, I think we know that the show is going to move pretty much exclusively to New York. And that'll be interesting in the next few episodes to see how that all plays out. But before we get to those episodes, let's jump a little more into this episode and talk about another returning character, Mercedes, who we see barge into the lobby of a hotel and kind of...
With her fawawa.
Yeah. I mean, how amazing was that? I mean,
all diva-like. Nothing has changed.
To carry a stuffed
We need
dog.
An AfterBuzz fawawa for sure.
I mean, I feel like that should be our, like, next week's goal. We have lots of live dogs around here, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The live dogs might eat our fawawas right up, actually. Yeah. So maybe that's why we don't have them.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really cool. It was cool to have Amber back. I mean, missed her. Surprised they brought her back. I mean, we had to because we went to L.A., but exactly. I'm surprised they brought her back before the 100th.
Yeah.
But it's a nice way to kind of ease us into it as opposed to just a tease when we get the 100th and then we get everybody ripped from us again. Mm-hmm. I know we only do have her for a couple episodes, but I am happy she's here.
Yeah, I thought that, and also to have her, we knew that she had struggled in L.A., and then to have her be this pseudo-celebrity.
The fabulous life of Mercedes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's amazing because Mercedes has only been out in the real world for a year, but all the life lessons that she's learned since then, and to be able to pass that on, not to jump ahead too much.
To the
but
rest to, of the new directors.
But to pass that on, just in a matter of a year, just shows how much her character has grown.
Absolutely. Quick question for you guys. What was the point of telling us that this Mexican lady came and took her CD and passed it to Kanye, who passed it to Kim, who passed it to somebody, who passed it to somebody, who passed it to Ryan Seacrest, who passed it to Sony, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Like, was that just a funny little joke that kind of went over my head, or...?
I think that was just the funny joke, just a nod to the industry in L.A.
Yeah. I would either say a nod to the industry or a little fun shout-out to Ryan Seacrest, who's another Fox from American Idol. He's the host of American Idol,
obviously. That was the only thing I could think of, because saying that it got to Kanye West was enough.
Yeah.
To give it cred, you know?
Like, yeah.
We didn't need to get from Kanye West 10 more degrees to Ryan Seacrest. Yeah, I mean,
but the industry, because it's so L.A., everyone says the connectivity, and you have to know someone, the networking.
Absolutely.
Know someone who knows someone who knows someone 100. Who knows two other people.
And the 405 will close, is closed this week.
Yeah. Someone had a lot of fun teasing L.A. I mean, all the writers live here. So
It's filmed here.
They had a lot of fun teasing because it is like, what do they call it? Like when the 405 shuts down, it's like
Carmageddon.
And yeah, it gets insane. So they were definitely making sure that they were teasing that LA lifestyle. But I thought Marley had one of the sweet, like there were lots of sweet moments in this episode, but very kind of questioning herself again, that senior year, who am I, who do I want to be?
Yeah, I just thought it was very confusing. First of all, it seemed a little out of place for me because we haven't seen her getting rejected from all of these places. It seemed like they needed to throw that in. And then she talks about her swan song, which was what?
Depressing.
I mean,
depressing. Yeah, and she didn't have a big moment.
Yeah, she just really wasn't involved in Nationals very much. So, I mean, Kitty was more involved than she was. I was just surprised that she was like, this is my, you know, let's do it. And then to have the writers not put her in more, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't her swan song. I'm sure she will stay with New Directions, and that's the point. But it just seemed kind of out of place, and like they needed, we've been talking every week for the last 2 weeks, I guess, only, about how the new Directions, who are they? Where are they? We have not been paying any attention. It's been all about New York and the seniors.
Yeah.
And this was just kind of like a, here I am. And I was like, oh, that's okay. You can stay there.
I'm sorry. I kind of agree because it was misplaced and just came out of nowhere.
Right.
But I don't think it should have been in the Nationals episode. I feel like had they kept that storyline to one of an episode that was closer to the end of the season, like near graduation, when she was questioning colleges she was going to, where she was questioning her career, and then having that storyline, that would have been more relevant.
Right. And
than
it's not
now.
Like, absolutely. And we know that they're not going to have a big part in the 100th episode. There's no freaking way.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, I feel like the Glee writers got a little hesitant. They were thinking to themselves, ooh, we haven't put them in the last two episodes, and this is really the only shot we have before the 100th, and otherwise we're going to have to wait a whole another couple weeks. So let's just throw them in really quick.
Yeah, I think that they're probably were trying to set up something for after the 100th. Like, I feel like she's getting her confidence back, and maybe that's, I don't know what that means in terms of her love triangle, but I felt like there was something there, whether it was to go back to Ryder because he supported her and got the stuff to Mercedes. I wasn't sure where it was going.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but it seemed like what Mercedes wanted was for her to be Independent Woman Part 3. So it's like a very confusing thing, because if what it is that she's going to go back to one of them, which I honestly would prefer, I don't even know at this point if I care whether it's Ryder or Jake. I just don't really like Marley alone, which is kind of sad to say. But
I mean,
but I think it's more than that, too, just like whoever she ends up with. It's just we got that message at the end of, you know, every episode has to have that life lesson message that they have to tell.
You get 3 minutes pity party.
Yeah, and this is like, don't give up on your dreams. Keep working hard at it. And that
absolutely.
That was the storyline.
I know that this was, yeah, that was definitely the bottom line of tonight's episode was never give up and be true to who you are. But do you feel like sometimes, Glee, I know we've talked about it in the past, it's a mixed message. And I felt like Mercedes had a mixed message in some ways. It was like, never give up on yourself. And like, she knew she had obviously, Mercedes had some sense that she was with those guys.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that was like, get away from them or like kind of a tease to her.
Well, she said, and that doesn't mean going back to one of them.
Yeah.
But absolutely. And then she's quickly, Mercedes says, oh, and then I had all these downs too, and Trouty Mouth dumped me twice. Oh, wait, no, that was me dumping him. Yeah. And I was like, that's kind of funny, but completely contradictory of everything you were just saying, yeah. Whatever, moving on. But no, I absolutely get what you're saying, Stephanie. It's like,
yeah, sometimes there's definitely these mixed messages on Glee where you're like, I get the point, like, to be true to yourself. But there's this, like, other side where you're a little more,
right.
Yeah.
My favorite, I would have been absolutely fine sticking with Mercedes saying, 3 minutes. You got a 3-minute pity party, and that's all you get, because what? In this business, you're gonna hear no, and you're going to hear a hell of a lot more than you hear yes, even if you are the top singer in the entire world. You're going to hear no more than you hear yes. So guess what? 3 minutes is all you freaking get.
Yeah.
That I appreciated. The rest of it kind of got lost in translation.
Yeah. It would have been nice to see Mercedes say that, but that wouldn't be Mercedes' character. She's the kind of person who will take the crap, but then get over it and learn from it. And that's what she was teaching Marley.
Right.
So. Another person who seemed to be trying to live up to expectations tonight was Sam, who, I mean, I have to say, Mr. Shu laid it on him, was like, you need to be the leader.
Like 15 times tonight, I was watching in one of the screening rooms with people who don't cover the after show, but
yeah.
Fans, and I would turn to them and be like, but no pressure, you know, and everybody would kind of giggle, because like, just all night, he would just lay it on thick, like, this is all you, you've got this, if you know, it's all you, but no pressure, you know, he didn't say that.
But yeah, what bothered me most about that was, throughout this entire show, that's never been Sam's character. He's not a leader. Like, he's a great, nice person. I don't mean it like that's a bad thing. It's just he's not the guy to lead the troops.
That was my thing. I was like, why do you think they gave it to Sam? Because they could have gave it to Blaine. They could have gave it to Artie.
Yeah.
You know? And just, I question why they gave it to Sam, but I'm glad stepped up.
I actually liked that part because I did feel like Sam was Finn's protege a little bit. Finn got Sam. So I don't think that, you know, even when Sam was doing his exotic dancing and the swimming thing and all that, Finn fought for Sam over and over again. They saw eye to eye. And that speech that Will gives, like, you were kind of his. That's why they chose him. It wouldn't have made sense for him to choose Blaine, who he liked, but really wasn't his person.
Well, I think what you're saying, though, is that Finn fought for him. So, yes, they were closest, but it wasn't Sam fighting for... Right.
Absolutely not, but it was always Finn fighting for Sam, and now this was time for Sam to return the favor.
Mm-hmm. I get that. No,
but
I
was
understand
a
that.
Hell of a lot of pressure. Yeah. I mean...
Especially during Nationals.
And I was kind of shocked with how things ended up. I know we're not there, but for so much pressure throughout the entire episode.
We're going there in a minute or two. Yeah.
Just a lot.
A lot of pressure. And so to move on to that, let's talk about this Nationals competition. Let's back up a bit. And there were three competitors that we saw. Of course,
right.
New Directions. The Amazonians, was that the group?
Yep, Amazonians. And Throat Explosion.
And Throat Explosion. And can we just give a shout out to, it's Skylar.
Skylar
Austin, who,
love him.
Yeah, Pitch
He's
Perfect.
He's our Pitch Perfect fan, yeah.
Pitch Perfect.
I thought he was fabulous tonight.
So good. Yeah.
I like it a lot when people are very aggressive and competitive, but know when something is too far.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was interesting. And I'm kind of sitting here thinking, maybe we'll see him again.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, because I loved how, I think we all know him from Pitch Perfect and also the other movie, 21 and Over. So, like, he's established the nice boy character.
Yeah, exactly.
And then his character in Glee was completely opposite. Very, very vicious and conniving. And, like, I loved how he played up.
Yeah, I loved seeing him play it kind of against type, but still in type, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Like, I'm competitive and I'm going to kick your butt, but hey. Don't take it to that place. It's not about the competition. Exactly. It's personal, because I'm not going to go there.
The one slight issue that I had with him, and I thought he did an incredible job, and we'll get into the songs and how great his performances were, but he, at moments, it felt to me like I was still watching Pitch Perfect, which is fine. I like Pitch Perfect a lot, but it just was like him singing on stage, because it's both Glee Club and kind of that.
It's hard to get away from that, though, because when you've done a musical that's been taped before, what was he supposed to do, you know? Like, put on a southern accent?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, there's nothing to do to fix it. It would just be one of those things where you're like, okay, it's Pitch Perfect, and, like, that's awesome and cool, but it's Glee, too. And
totally.
That was my one, like, little side note on him, but I still love him and want more episodes with him and all of that, so... Cups. I was like, what did she do? Cups. I got it.
We had it. I say one day we should perform it on camera.
Ooh.
Totally.
We can practice while we're watching and just be like, done.
Maybe if we get more ratings and comments on iTunes.
Yes,
we can do that.
You took the words out of my mouth. So you should definitely go on, as Marissa's saying, rate, comment. We love hearing from you. It makes our show better, and we know what you're thinking, and that always helps us, and we love hearing from Gleeks.
Yeah, so. Our first week back, you guys were coming in hot. We loved the support and everything. Last week, we dipped a little bit, guys, so we need our Gleeks in the house. We need you.
Absolutely, and we should also mention that Roxy will be doing the after show for our own Maria Menounos. You heard at the top of the show.
Yeah.
Has Chasing Maria Menounos, her new reality show, coming out March 18th, next Tuesday night.
Yep, and we will be covering it here afterwards. So you can definitely tune into that. It should be a really fun time. We have guests booked for every week, so you can watch our after show here and watch their show on Oxygen.
Yes, and rate and comment on everything.
Yep.
So going back to Nationals, we see that the Glee Club, New Directions, they sometimes win Nationals, sometimes lose. They're very realistic in that. You never know which way it's going to go. It's not a show that the team always wins.
I know, and I felt it in my gut. I was like, they're going to take this from them. They're going to not win this. I feel it. But I was like, please be wrong, please be wrong, please be wrong. I'm kind of pissed.
See, it depends on... I mean, performance-wise, I thought... they had it tonight, but they were incredible performances.
Who's they? New Directions?
New Directions. Yes. Good clarification. But I felt the same thing. And in my gut, I could tell, because I think that's going to lead to more, as we were saying, more time with Skylar. Like, there's going to be a battle brewing on that front.
Right.
I kind of knew that they weren't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But because their singing was great, as always. But the song choices... And it had a better meaning, but the song choices, I'm like, these aren't really songs that they would pick. They're not, like, really in your face and very theatrical that we're used to during the big competition shows and stuff. So I kind of understood with the song choices that they had, and I'm like, I wouldn't pick those to win.
Right. I think that it's important to note, in my opinion, this group of people, were not as strong as they were when they won Nationals. The song selection, the voices, the dancer, just the compilation of it all was not as strong as when they won. So that I could appreciate. But maybe it's just because I'm more invested in these characters, but I thought that they kicked Throat Explosion's butt, which is the only part where I was like, and I thought Throat Explosion did an amazing job. But honestly, I was really hoping they would pull through, especially because of how many times they said, like, this isn't about having fun anymore. This is about winning. Like, they just kept saying that. And I was like, Carol Burt is like stuck ixnay on the winning game.
Yeah. I was like, you're kind of losing the message of Glee.
Yeah.
That, you know, they joined Glee to have fun. And then, if we win, that's great. Great on them. But the message was to be together, have fun. And now it's just like, go win. That's all that matters.
Absolutely. If they announced to themselves at the top, you know what, this is simply, first and foremost, a tribute to Corey. We are not picking songs that we think could make us win. We are picking songs that are his favorite. We are performing our hearts out. We are going to make him proud. Yes. It would have been very different that if they had won second place. But the fact that they almost started saying that, and then they were like, no, we have to win this. And they lost. It felt like such a loss
yeah.
that even when they tried to reconcile at the end and speeches were given, I was like, you lost.
No, I mean, it was hard to watch that happen. The other thing that I found strange, I should first say, though, that Carol, I was so happy to see Carol, Finn's mother, back in the episode.
Hell
and
yeah.
Bert.
Yeah, and Bert as Bert well. Yeah, and, but I thought it was an interesting character switch for her because she was the one who was like, you gotta go and win this for Finn, basically, without, I think she said he would never say this, but basically her bottom line was like, go out there and win this.
Right, and that was, like, after she just had tried to leave and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that whole thing with Tina, I mean, Tina says, my life's going to be so empty from now on.
At least. Yeah.
And she says, well, at least you get to have one. And that was just, that was when I knew this episode was going to be gut-wrenching. Because finally, it was something that I literally would have, if I had to guess what the next line was, what I wanted it to be, something that I would have wanted to be there and being like, I don't think Lee's going to go for it.
Yeah.
And they did. And I was like, damn straight. And then Carol kind of shocked herself just the way she shocked all of us. You know, sometimes you don't even mean to say something. You just, you're just in so much pain. When somebody complains about living, you're like, well, you are alive. Come on.
Yeah. It's about putting into perspective. And we've seen Tina be more of a diva in the past few episodes now. And I think it does take an adult to put, snap a teenager back into life and bring her down from the clouds.
But it was interesting to see her, Carol, take this 180-degree turn where she then was like, it's okay that you lost. Like, it's all about the effort you put in. And that was kind of the message by the end. And I was just like, what made you switch?
It was like she went 90 degrees forward, 90 degrees back almost. It wasn't a full on it, you know? It was just bizarre. I mean, because what was she going to say after they lost? You really let him down?
There was no, I mean, that would be the most gut-wrenching, like, to have these parents, like, we're so sorry, and then just be like, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Like, how awful.
I know.
You know what? Honestly, I feel like that's something Finn would do. That he would question something and think one thing, but then in the end realize for the better that, like, no, I should stick it out. And then I think that was kind of her way of doing, thinking one thing and coming back like, no, coming out on top.
Yeah, absolutely. I did see a lot of Finn in her character tonight. And I hate that I loved this, but I love that you can see that the actress is being affected by the words she's saying. You know, she's talking about what it's like to have Finn gone, and you can tell she's talking about what it's like to have Corey gone. And
well, again, it's that blurring of lines.
It just, she did a really incredible job tonight, as did Bert and everybody who was trying to pull together and support Carol. I just thought it was really beautifully done with her. But I did find fault with the fact that she was so gung-ho winning and then they lost.
Yeah, it was hard to watch that for sure. I also just found it interesting that she, you know, it was this moment of, like, I wanted her to kind of, be a little more like, it's in memory of my son, anything's okay. And it didn't feel that way to me.
Yeah, I think her switching moment might have been when she turned to Bert and said, this is Finn's favorite song. These are all Finn's favorite songs.
Yeah.
That might have been the switch, like, what's important is that they're keeping him alive, not that they're winning. I think that was meant to be the audience's turning point, like, oh, this is where the heart is. But it wasn't big enough of a moment for me for her to fully, as you're saying, 180.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there were lots, though. We talked about that this winning nationals felt like big stakes tonight, in a lot of ways bigger than it ever has before. And that was because, and I had kind of forgotten this, I have to say, that I guess in a previous episode they talked about that the Glee Club would be gone if they didn't win at nationals.
Yeah, that's what Sue was threatening.
Yes. Yeah. And so at the end of the episode, of course, we see Will and Sue kind of come to a head on this. But Will just seemed like he had almost given up.
I think he has. I think he feels a little defeated at this point, like, what am I fighting for? You know, my people, my students, the one that I've started with, they're now gone. I lost my best man, my best friend. And she's not even being mean right now. She's being realistic. In terms of finances, you have to cut clubs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you laid this out, and whether he agreed or disagreed, he went for it, you know,
yeah.
And they lost.
Yeah, and it's sad to see that, because we know when Sue's being really serious and complimenting Will and being like, I've always did like you, and even though I gave you a lot of crap, you know, that was just, you know, tough love and stuff. And then saying that you guys are talented, you have won, and you've had all these trophies and stuff, and then her being really genuinely sincere, you can tell that she's being serious, yeah. Saying that I have to cut the Glee Club.
Schools only have so much money, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. And it just makes me question, because I came from a small high school. Like, I was on a team, and we sucked, but we were still there. And so it just makes me question, like, why is the Glee Club compared to the others? I mean, I know a few other clubs were getting cut, too, but...
I think Glee
the
Club
Glee has
expensive.
Won. They had a bad year, and they lost, and then apparently they're cutting the club. That makes me sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's, again, Glee does such a good job of, you know, putting that spotlight on issues. And this is obviously one that they've done throughout the show, which is arts education. And that's what it felt like to me, was if, you know, that's what it's coming to in schools, is, you know, where the funding goes. And do you have to be the best to get your funding? And that's a whole separate.
Right. Of course, it's a separate issue. And who's to say that this even lasts? I happen to think it will. I do think that this might be the end of New Directions, but you never know. I am very happy that they didn't have the Nationals on the finale, because
yeah.
This would have been
yeah.
kind of a whack episode to end the season on.
Yeah, I love the fact that at the very end we see Rachel and Kurt, who are, they look like they're ready to
and
fight.
And Santana,
yeah. ready to fight.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I hope that that's, we're going to the 100th. I hope that's where it's heading.
Right. That's why I was kind of surprised that they didn't actually show up at Nationals in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that they only found out about it after it all happened.
Right.
But I think that will bring them back to McKinley to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got the
100.
That'll
bring everyone
yeah.
back together.
Keep it 100.
Oh, Roxy. Okay, so we should...
Typical.
Just go into some songs, you know, the usual. So tonight there were a number of them, starting off with I Love L.A., which is, of course, a song by Randy Newman. It was Mr. Shu and the entire One Direction crew.
So by One Direction, you do mean New Direction, but I get where you're going with.
Sorry, I think I wrote One Direction down. I'm super cool
that
today.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, sorry about that. They did do, I think One Direction did a music video on a bus, like the top of a bus, in a similar way. So
perfect.
Yeah.
That's probably what you were thinking.
So, New Direction.
Yeah, this whole song was, again, a shout-out to the City of Angels.
LA.
Let's see this and this and go to Pink's and whatever.
Yeah.
Pink's and Amoeba
yeah.
Records.
Exactly.
Capitol Records.
It was a nice transitional piece to get us from point A to point B. It was kind of necessary. There's a lot of L.A. songs. This is a good one. It was okay.
I liked that it was upbeat for the beginning of the episode. I always like it when we start with something that's fun at the beginning of the episode, so I appreciated that. Did I think the vocal performance was amazing? It was fine. It did the job. It got me to LA, and it put me in the mood for, like, an episode called City of Angels.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was fun. I just did love the editing of all the places in LA that tourists would go to, and every
places
time, because I'm still kind of fairly new to LA, I've only been here for like 2 years, but seeing all those places is like, yeah, I remember that feeling of being in LA for the first time and seeing all these places, so I like the fun in that.
Yeah, absolutely. I do feel kind of jaded sometimes when I take for granted the fact that I'm seeing these places. Like, I drive by these places every day for the past like 6 years of my life, that they're on my route, and I'm like, oh, this is like my ride to work. But I understand that it is exciting, and L.A. is an incredible place, and it is cool that they got to show some things in L.A.
Yeah, they yeah. jumped between Sunset and Hollywood Boulevard, and so I kept being like, that's Sunset, that's Hollywood, and seeing if I could test myself, which was a weird thing to do, but fun.
Totally.
Fun nonetheless. And then we had, I think the Amazonians did the next song for us, called Vacation, and it's by the Go-Go's.
Brenda Carlisle.
Yeah.
Gotta
yeah.
love her.
This, I enjoyed the song a lot, the feathers, the whole performance. It was cute, it was fun. We always knew that first and second place was going to be between Throat Explosion and the New Direction, so I didn't pay it much mind. In terms of, like, is this the most amazing thing I've ever seen? It was fun, you know, to watch.
Yeah,
I thought it was very flashy, and it didn't need to be. The colorful feathers, okay, you got my attention.
Yeah, sure.
I loved the costumes I wrote, and I thought the performance was acceptable. Like, it's what it always is, that third group. Yeah. They always have a random third group for this, and it's always like, yeah, it's nice to listen to. It doesn't do... much beyond that.
And the second group always does two songs, and New Directions always does three. Every time.
It's a formula. We get it. If Gleeks watch the show, they'll probably know the formula as well.
Sure. Yeah. But why can't New Directions ever have... I feel bad because I know that Finn's mom made the costumes for New Directions in this, but why can't New Directions ever have costumes like some of these other teams have? I mean, just like...
I know.
These, like, feather fabulous things.
But I actually liked the New Direction costumes tonight. I mean, they weren't as incredible as the feathered, amazing, like, Las Vegas showgirl thing going on. But
honestly, I don't think, because we've seen the random episodes in between when they're at high school with all the crazy costumes that they've dressed up in. I think those are the episodes that they dress in. And when you go to Nationals, it's really about the singing, not about the flashy performance that you put on. So I don't... feel like the New Directions need to have the weird costumes.
Well, Marissa, apparently they did. You never know if they would have won.
Maybe.
or come in fourth place.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessary.
And moving on to the two songs of Throat Explosion, Mr. Roboto and Counting Stars.
there's not One Direction but One Republic, so
I love One Republic.
Wait, what did I say?
No, you didn't say anything. Oh. I'm just thinking. Like,
I was like, wait, no.
No, we just went from New Direction to One Direction to One Republic, so you
got
know.
Got it. I'm intermixing it all. Let's
what
go.
Did I say?
To New Directions.
I was like, wait, did I mess up? Okay, so... I liked this, actually. I thought they did a good job, and I loved Skylar again. It's just fun to see him.
Right, absolutely. Their transition between these army masks and then going into the strip into Counting Stars, which, by the way, is one of my favorite songs, so I was a little biased here. Like, song feeds my soul. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
So I am a little biased, but I thought that it was a really good, solid two-song package.
I agree. I mean, and I love One Republic, so I'm kind of biased, too, on that song. And then the Mr. Robotics is just, like, Jesse's... I'm sorry. I just know him as Jesse in Pitch Perfect. Skylar Astin. His performance was so awesome. And it's like, how can you not watch him? He was having fun performing on stage.
Jean-Baptiste,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know him as Jesse.
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, I feel like that's going to be an ongoing thing for us when every time he's on. And then we have New Direction, who did the formula three songs.
Of course.
Of course. My favorite was the first one. I'm interested to hear what you guys thought. The first one was More Than a Feeling. It's by Boston, I wrote down.
Yeah. What are you so confused about Boston for? We have good things that come out of Boston.
No,
like, Boston.
I know. I love Boston. I went to BU. I love it. But it's just, I wrote it down. I was like, I hope that's right. Okay, so Boston. And
I know. I was listening to people. They were like, this is the greatest Journey song. And I was like, I guess the greatest Journey song that was ever sung by not Journey.
Yeah.
And it's actually a Boston song, but okay.
Yeah, and I just felt like it was classically, it was so uplifting. I just... loved it. It was kind of perfect to me.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go.
I felt like it was really, really strong. I loved that they opened with it. All I could think about the whole time was Tina's never sounded better. Like, she sounded so good. I was like, Tina, where you been, girl?
Yeah.
Like, you sound so freaking good. It was great, and it was right up Finn's alley. I knew immediately that comment was going to come up somehow because couldn't you just pick... This is such a Finn song.
Yeah, I agree. And the vocals were very strong. And then I love seeing Blaine and Tina have their moment at Nationals. Both of them got to have their standalone moment and sing together finally too on stage in front of everyone. I thought that was just fun. Nice to see that. We didn't get to see any other. Yeah, we didn't get to really see them stand out in past performances like that.
Yeah, she did a really great job, as did he. He always does, but Tina blew it out of the water.
Yeah. I think they had their senior moment then.
I couldn't agree more. And then we had America, which is a Neil Diamond song, also sung by New Directions. I liked this. I thought it was a fun choice. I don't think I was like, oh, this is amazing and it's everything I want it to be. But that was coming off of a song that I did feel that way about. Right. So it was a hard comparison for me.
I agree. This was the point in the performance where I'm like, okay, why this song? Why did they pick America out of everything? And then this is when I was questioning. I was like, okay, something's going on here. And then I think it was like not shortly after I thought that, like maybe a few seconds. Then we got Finn's mom explaining, oh, they're doing all of Finn's songs.
Yeah, I unfortunately thought the song was a letdown. It was sandwiched between two of my three favorite songs of the episode, not counting Counting Stars, which was my third one, but More Than Feeling and I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For were my two other favorites, and sandwiching America in there, it was totally adequate, but it was nothing to write home about. And I don't know. I wonder if there's any. We know that Ryan Murphy does things like this all the time, where it's kind of like inside jokes with the cast members. I wonder if there was any truth to these being Corey's favorite songs, or you know, like if there was something, because I don't think that this is a song that they typically would have picked in this moment. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, then I'm all for it. Otherwise, I thought that this was the weakest of the New Direction performances.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, and we agree on a song.
We all agree.
Love it. And then finally, this was another one of my favorites as well. I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. Of course, it's a U2 song. I feel like we all know this song. Mm-hmm. And it's always a risk when you go with a song that everybody knows, if you're going to make it better, worse, or something different. And I felt like they did a great job covering it.
Yeah, I mean, typically, this is one of the most incredible songs of all time, in my opinion. And I can pick up the notes of it so quickly. You hear it, and I know exactly what song's about to play. But they did a little bit of a different version on tonight, and I really appreciated that. I thought they did an amazing job. This was my favorite song of the entire episode, and I really, really appreciated it. I thought that the words, the lyrics, without hitting you over the head, really spoke to kind of what Finn was going through. And that was really powerful for me. And I had kept it together throughout all these flashbacks, the entire thing. And when Sam raises those drumsticks, I just lost it. I mean, it was such a, like, stick it to the man, I love you kind of, I don't even know. It was incredible. This song was everything to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a perfect way of ending the episode. It just felt like, okay, this is, you know, the perfect song to end Nationals with. It was just like, oh, okay, we got it.
I agree. And I love the inserts that they had of Corey. And it wasn't just, like, all at your face. It was just here and there and, like, nicely spread throughout for all these three songs. Yeah. And then just seeing him being so happy, doing what he loved, which was Glee Club, helping, you know, bonding with his friends, helping Artie out. Just, like, those things that we love and remember Finn for that. That really hit me.
Right.
That's when I got choked up.
It was so crazy how those moments, it wasn't the biggest moments of Finn, you know? It wasn't like a flashback of Finchel or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just somebody's moments, you know? Just their life and an interaction here and an interaction there. I thought it was so beautifully done.
Yeah.
And that they held out through the episode till this point to do it. And then again, of course, like I was just saying, with the drumsticks in the air,
Yeah, they went for his quiet moments. Like, it didn't feel like, oh, here he is, like, the center of the stage, or here he is exactly with Finchel or anything. It was just, like, those quiet moments that I think kind of how everyone fell in love with Finn. Like, him singing in the shower, those moments from the pilot where you're just like, oh, I remember that. It felt kind of like a tribute to him and a tribute to, like, the love that the fans had for him.
Right.
And that was really sweet.
And his little subtle quirks and friendships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and just, like, his time in the Glee Club. And then going back to Will saying earlier in the episode that he wasn't just the football football captain. He wasn't just the Glee leader. He was a real, genuine man, and that's the stuff that, you know, we loved.
Absolutely. We've come full circle. From we started with Finn, and now we're going back to Finn.
I know.
With that, should we move to news and gossip?
Yeah, absolutely.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys. Do you know which Glee cast member got engaged?
Yes.
Who is it?
Harry. Harry Junior.
Yep.
I do have to say I only know because we have a group text going on, and one of you guys texted me about it when it happened. But yes, I did know as well.
Yes. So he got engaged to his longtime girlfriend, who's also an actress, and they got engaged in Hawaii in October. So this is. Been, I guess, under the radar for a bit now.
6 months, wow.
Yeah, so they're living together here in L.A., and he already tweeted his fans thanking everyone for their support, and congrats on that. We're so happy for you.
Yeah, it makes me miss him.
Miss him?
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen him on the show.
Yeah, it makes
dancing
me miss him.
Dancing away in Chicago.
Yeah, right? I know.
Mike Chang, we want you back on Glee.
Yeah, it makes me miss him a little bit. Yeah,
absolutely.
But, you know, good for him. It's glad. It always makes me happy seeing them outside of the show and just seeing them, like, excel in life and stuff like that.
Me too, but it is always very strange because a lot of these people are playing 17-year-olds, you know, or 16-year-olds, and I'm sitting there to myself, like, you're an actual, legitimate, grown-ass man. Like,
Ryan.
Like, grown.
Right. So he's engaged. Naya's engaged.
Right.
Heather had a baby. Like, we're seeing these people really, like, grow up and be adults, and that's...
I know. And the fact that we're looking... when it strikes me the most is when we see Cord, and he's a senior, and I'm like, Cord, you actually look like you could be 30. Like, I don't believe you.
I think he is closer to 30. Yeah,
he's fantastic, and he's a great actor, but when I see him, and I look at him, and my sister's a senior in high school, and I'm like... you could be her father.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they all play. I mean, that's like the Hollywood way.
Of
playing,
course, but it's a weird reminder when they get engaged or are pregnant.
Absolutely, like. But such exciting news for him, absolutely. And then also talking about outside projects or outside things outside of Glee, I guess we can say. Lea Michele, of course, is promoting her new album.
Which is phenomenal. You should listen to it.
Yeah.
So apparently Marissa Serafini is promoting it as well.
I'd say $13, the deluxe edition on iTunes. Yes.
Oh, okay. So she's
$12.99.
She's heard more of it than I have, but
it's amazing.
Love the songs I've heard from it so far. Yes. I need to download the entire thing.
It's amazing.
It is. But that
Wait, being, do you like it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's amazing.
So
it's Lea Michele.
Oh, is it awful? Is that the right to say?
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
We're all fans of Lea Michele here, clearly. But Lea Michele has been out on a major press tour for it, of course, and she talked to MTV. And with the show moving most of its attention to the New York storyline, she compared the show to Friends, which I thought was such a fun, like, comparison.
Such a good show.
But
best show.
I don't know if it's a fair comparison because they're very different shows, obviously. This has a lot more drama to it than Friends ever did, but...
Well, and if you think about it, Friends, when that show started, they were in their late 20s. The storylines, they were in their late 20s and they're in their early 20s, so it's completely different.
And Friends is a sitcom, so it's...
It feels a little different, but I get it. New York City, I think, will become more of a character on Glee, and it definitely was, even though Friends was taped here in L.A., a character on Friends.
You.
Yeah. That being said, still exciting. Also, any guesses on where Lea Michele wants to see Rachel go in season 6? She claims there will be a big surprise for her character, but she wouldn't let on to what. But where does she want her character to end? Do you have any guesses?
I don't know. Hopefully not being this Broadway star meanie pants.
No.
No, I hope not.
I don't know. Do you think she wants a love interest?
No. I'd say that'd be way too soon.
I know they said they wouldn't do it this season, but you're saying for next season?
For next season. She claims that she wants her character to win a Tony and have the entire group's like support to have Kurt and...
Oh, so when you said, guess what she wants, you really meant, like, this is very true to her character.
This is very true to her character. So that's why I had you guess. But you guys did a good job. Broadway, life, I got it.
Yeah,
it's good. So TV fanatic. Also had some spoilers for the 100th episode next week.
Ooh.
I mean, little spoilers, but spoilers.
Lazier.
So it's all going to be, or not all, but there's going to be a lot about remembering Finn. So it'll continue that theme from this week. And we're going to see Puck, Diana Agron, Quinn, all back to do that. We haven't seen Diana, at least yet, in an episode that it gives tribute to him. So that'll be nice to have her back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the last episode we had her in was the Valentine's Day episode.
Which is so long ago.
So long ago.
Yeah. I'm just nervous that fans out there are going to start to be like, too much Corey, too sad. Or too much Finn, too sad. And I really hope people don't say that because I think it's so incredibly important that we keep him alive on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, in our hearts on the show, but it's really important. So I hope people can stick with it.
Yeah. I agree. And I think Glee's doing a nice way of doing that because every once in a while, they do sprinkle his name out there just in, like, a simple conversation. Like, well, Finn wanted this or Finn was that. And then so it's just suddenly keeping him around.
Yeah. I feel like they're finding a nice balance between, you know, honoring him on some episodes, like this episode was gut-wrenching to watch. And we've had the quarterback, which was another hard one to watch. But they also have the fun, lighter episodes, and they're finding the balance in the season. And I agree with you. I hope that fans are okay with that. I feel like if you've watched the show from the beginning, you want those tributes as much as probably the show producers.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's about it for news and gossip. Ready for predictions?
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We are definitely ready for predictions.
Sure. This makes me a little nervous because it's kind of tailing off of news and gossip, but it is called gossip and could be potentially going into predictions. But there is gossip going around that Naya Rivera will not be on Glee for much longer. Based on a couple things that happened, one was that she tweeted saying that she was on set with Glee shooting a very sweet Brit / Santana scene, hashtag start together, end together. People don't know whether that means that that's Britannia being endgame or whether they're... So people have all different theories. That was just one of the inclinations of why they think that she's leaving, but I don't know what that would mean for predictions for the future of Glee. What do you guys think?
I mean, I hope that Santana, even if she's not on every episode next season, I hope she's around. I don't want to see her leave. I don't feel like her story's done yet. But maybe by the end of the season and with Brittany, I'll feel differently. But,
okay.
Yeah, I guess that's...
Are you still rooting for Britannia?
I would love to see Brittany back.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're awesome together. I think for Santana, because right now in this season... She's still trying to find herself and where she belongs in life, and she's kind of stuck in that rut. And I think if she is to leave and to write out her character in that way, it's just you have a character, get up and leave and start a new life in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I think it would be fitting if she ended it like that.
I agree. It's interesting to see. I'm interested to see where these characters go. I say it all the time, but I think that we're kind of at this point where they're going to go different directions, no pun intended. And you know
what I would love to see? It's not a prediction, but I would love to see, just because Rachel is Fanny, to see a Barbara Streisand cameo.
Ooh. I would just die and go to heaven.
I feel like that's
I mean, Lea Michele, we know Lea Michele loves Barbara, and then to have Rachel love Barbara in that way, and then just to
die.
It's New York.
Heaven.
The chances of Barbara being in Broadway is not that too far-fetched.
Yeah.
So just to make
God.
An appearance like that would be awesome. Rachel would be through the roof. I mean, that would be fun to see.
I think you found the Glee dream. Yeah. On that note,
the Glee
writers.
Yes, I know, right?
Yes.
Listen up. Marissa's got ideas. So that being said, thank you so much for watching and hanging out with us tonight. I'm Stephanie Wanger, and you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Wanger.
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Roxy Stryer.
See you next week for the 100th. Woohoo!
Woo!
Yay!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, Gleeks!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.